Hey, everybody, welcome to another Code Pen Radio. Can you believe it? I don't even remember what the date of the last one was, but we stopped at an even 400, which is pretty cool because, you know, we were like, gosh, we're working on this new editor. Guess what? We still are. Amazing. But we are a lot further along with it, obviously, I hope. And so we'll be talking a lot about that, but we're going to just bring it back classic style. Talk about all kinds of different things. Code Pen. Marie is still here, my co-host. Hi, Marie.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, hey. So we'll be talking about, you know, CodePen's 2.0 editor, as we'll be calling it. I just publicly, too. That's what it's just going to be called. There might be some other names, some other terminology and stuff that we'll use. But that's not the only thing we'll talk about. The point of this podcast is still talking about, like, CodePen the business, a little behind the scenes, how it's going. We're still basically a startup. Sometimes I bristle at the term because I'm like, we're pretty old for
a startup. We're an old startup, yes.
Very old. But we are very few people, so we're still just making it happen. Then we've still only taken that one round of funding way long time ago. So we're behaving like a startup. It's just that, you know, we have a rather established business model and everything's just going fine that way. So just to kick things off, because I have this, I've been like keeping a list of ideas for shows and I want to just chuck through them. And just to get our feet wet again, we'll just talk about one that we poke at pretty much every single week. And that is our email system and all this stuff. We have talked about this on the show before, haven't we? Surely we have.
Oh, definitely.
Probably many times.
Yep.
Because it's a big deal to CodePen. CodePen has, what's an appropriate term for it? A huge bucket load of users? Just like a very lot.
Yes.
A very lot. Actually, just before this call, Marie and I are poking at some bug we were having and trying to root it out. Pretty weird thing. And what I did is I hopped into one of the apps we use. The app was called Postmark, by the way. So that's on our list to talk about anyway. It's one of the software as a service apps that we use here at CodePen to send email. It sends all of, I think, our transactional email.
Yes.
So a transactional email is like, welcome to CodePen, or please verify your email address, or here's a receipt for your thing, whatever, right? Those are ones that like an event occurs and then you get an email about that event. So they don't get sent on the third Monday of every month. They just get sent when they need to be sent.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a transactional email is. Postmark is very good at that. I think we're consider us fans.
Oh, yeah.
Of Postmark.
Yeah, it's super easy.
They have pretty good analytics too. You can see like logs of every email that's ever sent. So I was like, hey, let's go into Postmark and just see if that email sends. Like, what if I, you know, whatever, did the put a semicolon in the wrong place or something? That's not how HTML works, by the way, but it could be a problem with the template. Who knows? Sometimes you gotta, what do we call them? Sanity checks, you know, make sure that the very basic things work as you expect them to before you dive into deeper issues. So I hit this button in Postmark. Hey, send me a test. And we did that. And then like 30 seconds later, we go look at the logs to see if the email was sent, which it was. And like, 8 people had signed up in that 30 seconds.
Yes.
It was like, okay, well, there's a lot of users on CodePen. And before you think they're all bots or spam or something, we do have quite a few protections against that kind of stuff too. So probably real people. Okay, so we've established this, right? One heaping giant bucket load of users on CodePen. One of our strengths, I'd say. Thank you for being a CodePen member, if you are old or new. So we need like systems to send email.
Yes.
Elaborate ones, expensive ones.
Yeah. We have a ton of email to send. And we also got to be careful with it. You know, with a list that big, you don't want to be sending, say, for example, the same email twice in a row or something like that. So we really do have to have a lot of systems in place, checks in place, tools to make sure we're doing the right thing the right way.
Yeah, right. And it's a big part of our business too. So one of those, you know, sweaty things about it is like, do make sure that our like reputation is really good too. You know, when I don't want people thinking our crap is spam or accidentally marketing it as spam or doing anything spammy, all that kind of stuff. But fortunately, we have not had a problem with that. And we are old now. So hopefully our reputation has some protection against it. I don't know what else to say about that. I know there's like some technological crap you can do to help with that too, you know, authentication technologies and stuff. I'm not really prepared to talk about that. I can tell you that we do all of it, I think, or most of it.
Yeah, well, we do some of it, you know, what we can do from our end. And then also the tools that we use also provide protections. But Alex would be able to speak to that in more detail.
So we're talking about, we're send transactional email. And all of that goes through an app called Postmark, which we are happy paid customers of. One of the things that we like about Postmark is that it has this concept of templating, right?
Mm-hmm.
That you can kind of make a template and then you can make emails on top of those templates. So it has a little bit more, it's a little bit more feature rich than some of these email sending apps that are just like an API for email or something.
Right.
Which is also fine, you know, and we could go down to the AWS level if we had to just send like absolutely raw, you know, send this HTML to this one email address, done, and just do it a zillion times. The irony is that like the pricing isn't even that great at that levels. I don't know if you have to negotiate it or what, but we once priced out, like, what if we just sent it like, because as far as I'm concerned, sending through the raw AWS APIs is probably, it seems like it would be the cheapest possible option that we had. And it like, I think it maybe was a little cheaper, but not much. And then you get so fewer less features, like no analytics and no protections and no, you know, warnings.
Well, and we don't have the things like the templating, which is really useful. We are always,
I mean, we could build
using those
it,
templates. Well, but that's the thing. Yeah. It's like, you got to figure out, is it something that you can build in house or can you just buy the thing that exists? The build and buy question, you know, we're a teeny tiny team.
Right. And Postmark is priced pretty decently. And then, you know, for various complicated reasons that also probably aren't that terribly interesting, we use this other, the longest running email tool we use is called SparkPost.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still on them for sending this email that we send called the CodePen Spark, which I bet a lot of people.
Which is coincidental, by the way, that it's called the Spark and we send it over SparkPost.
Yeah, it has absolutely nothing to do with each other. Yeah, good point. Marie puts that together every single week, writes it and gathers the content and stuff. I play, you know, side coach once in a while or when Marie's on vacation, I put it together.
You're right in the corner. Yeah.
That's right. At the bottom of it, I put my little, I write my column too. So that counts, I guess. So we, our powers combined, produce the CodePen Spark that goes out every single Monday. And that's our heaviest volume email. Just goes out to an absolute bucket load, like I said, of users. And that has some, like, requires some special volume pricing and stuff. And how it's sent is that you don't just get to, you know, craft your little email and then just hit the send button and walk away, really, at that moment. I mean, if you're used to using MailChimp or whatever and it feels like that, well, you know, that's because you're that's a different scale, you know, and a different type of app that's doing it. This is our emails are crafted on our side down to the little bits and bytes of the HTML that need to go out. And then we're hitting APIs to send those out. So like, how, what does that mean exactly? Do you have to hit an API URL every single time? For each user, do we have to hit an API those millions and millions of times? There, I leaked how many it is. It's a lot of millions.
It's many.
Yeah. But no, it depends on how the APIs are structured by the companies that are offering them. Could you just send them, I don't know, you hit them in different ways, you know?
Yeah.
And for various reasons, we're still on Spark. It's on our list to come all the way over to Postmark. At the time we switched to Postmark, they didn't even offer sending marketing emails. It was a company that just dealt in transactional email. They didn't want your marketing style emails. Isn't that the term for anything that's not transactional? Is that what they call them?
Yeah, marketing. Yeah.
Yeah. It just means like, boom, it goes out to a big list.
Yeah.
But it just happens all at once.
Yep.
Now they do. They are in the business of marketing emails. So
yeah, and it might, you know, it might make sense for us to make the jump at some point. We are using their templates to craft the templates for
I know. Spark,
even though we don't send it there.
We do. And I know they know that, but it feels weird. It almost feels like a little crazy misuse of their system or something. But I'm like, whatever, you have APIs for it and we use your APIs. So you can't be too mad about it. So what Marie's talking about is, so we had to, at one point, like, brainchild, what are these emails that we're sending? How are they structured? What are they? And there's two, but kind of three types. And we're not talking about transactional. We're talking about marketing emails. Yep. There's the CodePen Spark that we talked about. Then sometimes there's a custom Spark, meaning that it's an additional send, or somebody has paid extra money to us. Oh, thank you, everybody. Please buy them. We call them dedicated Spark sometimes, where there's just one sponsor for the whole email and they want to send it. And we do that because there's some demand for it. Some companies just like that. And then we're like, well, we want to have a system where we can do whatever we want. It's basically a one-off email that we can totally custom design if we need to. It turns out that a lot of times they're not 1,000 miles different than a regular Spark, but they're always at least a little different, and they only have the one sponsor, and that we make that spot a little bigger and bolder for them. And then there's these other emails called challenges. But just thinking about the Spark, the way that we wanted to do it was link up, what would you say, approximately 10 things?
Yeah, it's usually 10. Pieces of editorial content. Yeah.
Right. But I think we've designed it now, after all, a bunch of iterations, where it could be like any number of them.
It can. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have a lot of flexibility there.
It was like, it's 10 or it's 12 or whatever it was. Now it's chill.
Yeah.
And by 10 things, I mean, a lot of times they're pens. They could be blog posts somewhere else. They could be collections. They could be ads. They could be any number of different things. It really kind of could be anything, but it's just something that's interesting. So we put it in the Spark and it splits them down two columns. Of course, one column on mobile, so there's a little bit of responsive email design in there. Mm-hmm. And then, but there's more, right? It has a title. So there's a big bold thing. It has a subject, of course, because emails do. It has an intro piece of HTML. It's usually a paragraph or two that Marie writes introducing the week's email and what we're about to talk about. Then there's all the 10 things. Then there's Chris's corner at the bottom. And then I think that's it. I mean, of course, there's a footer that has like all the unsubscribe links and all that.
Unsubscribe and all the other little details that you got to put there.
Totally. So we had to think, like, what is all that stuff? And then how are we going to put it together? And essentially, it's like, well, we'll just build our own little CMS, essentially, for that. We'll make a database table that has that representations of all those things. And our you know, rudimentary CMS, which was very not hard to build. You know, it's like a CRUD app, essentially. Mm-hmm. This is the kind of thing we can kick out very quickly and, fortunately, morph pretty quickly. But then the way that we can craft this email is like within an admin page. We can just open up a thing, click new email, type in the stuff in text areas and whatnot, and then hit save, and it becomes a database entry that represents a CodePen Spark.
Yeah.
And yes.
It's great, because to have it in the database like that makes future creation of Sparks easier too, because we can make sure that we're not repeating content. Like, we can check things against that, which I use a lot to make sure that we don't feature the same thing over and over, things like that. And it's nice to have that also, because it gives us the opportunity to publish it to the website as well. So there's like a landing page for the Spark.
Yeah. A Spark is an email first, maybe, even though it's actually kind of an email second, because we have it in the database. So we thought we might as well. But we, from day one, we knew we wanted to do that, because I don't know. I think it's probably a little bit of me in there. Like, I like it when things have URLs.
Yeah. It's awesome. We have this archive that goes back many, many years now of what was featured in the Spark.
It's
super cool.
I barely even care if anybody looks at it. I mean, it's nice that they do, but I'm like, I just need the content that I create to have URLs. And so it does. Mm-hmm. And challenges are really the same way. So we don't need to dwell on them too much, but it's like you go new challenge and you type in the title and there's ideas and resources for each challenge. And they're similarly structured with its own CMS and all that. And by the way, it means that you're not then like writing, you're not like handcrafting HTML very much. Like you might put an anchor link in some text or something, but you're not crafting the structure of the whole email. Right. That means later on we can change up the template and it's fine. We'll just fill it. The data is fine. We can move things around in the template and, you know, it's basically that's what web design is.
Yes. I think a lot of people listening to the show have probably heard of it. Web design.
Probably heard of it.
We like it.
Right. And so this all started with the idea that Postmark has these things called templates. And so we pull down the template and marry it up with content from the database. And that produces a final chunk of HTML. And that's what goes out when we hit the API and send those emails.
Right.
We also don't do a lot of marrying up the individual user. That we easily could do that. Not, I don't know about easily. It's always dangerous to say the word easy when you're talking about adding new features these days, but you know, certainly possible that we could say at the top of the email, "Hey Marie," and yes, Marie would be the user.
Nobody likes that.
it's rare that anyone even wants it. Yeah. And then it's embarrassing when people put their username instead, or we don't have it, or whatever. It's just it's not that interesting. Of course, what would be more interesting is emails that we've dreamed about forever that do seem to be closer and closer to reality. That would be like, what are, you know, your digests for the week or something like that. Yeah. We wouldn't want to like get it if you didn't want it. But if you, I'm sure people that are pretty active CodePen users would love that kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
Things we thought you'd be interested in, how your pens did, yada, yada. Anyway. Not yet. We're not doing that yet. Mostly transactional and marketing emails.
Yeah. But wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, it would be really cool. Oh my God. That sounds like a deliciously fun project to work on. But of course, I'd want it to be web first. And then I would turn it into an email.
Yeah.
Okay. So Postmark and Spark Post still have them. I bet we talked about this years ago probably on this podcast when we were still actively doing it. And that was our system back then too. This system has not changed dramatically through that. And then, okay. So now let's pretend it's Monday morning. What's Monday morning like for you?
Well, Monday morning, well, it is Monday. So first I got to have a coffee, but then, you know, when I get on, we've got the Spark and usually the challenges are a monthly thing. Where I just put out a theme and prompt each week. So like, for example, this past month, June, the theme was shapes and lines. And then each week there was either a shape or a type of line that was the prompt. And so if we have a challenge running that week, the challenges go out first and then the Spark follows that. So when we're sending, we actually have a two-stage process for sending things where we need two approvals from people on the team. So usually it's me and you, but sometimes when one of us is out, Steven picks it up for us. But we send out a test email to admins and then we review the test email to make sure that everything is in place, that we have, if we have sponsors, that they're going to the right
pretty URL. Crucial, really.
Yeah. And also we check the image and the content size, because we don't want to be sending a gigantic email. So we'll literally check, you know, how big is this email before we send that out. So after two people have approved it, that's when we can send it. So actually that brings up the changes that you had made to the image upload fairly recently to make it so that,
the size stuff.
So we're getting size.
I call it in the notes, I think that kind of the nuclear missile system, right? Where somebody has to turn a key and then like farther than arm's length away, like farther than one severance. So you remember that scene? And did you watch Severance? Anyway,
of course.
Where he had to like put his two fingers on two buttons, but he could do it as one person.
Right. The correct design of that app.
Yeah. You'd have to get a little farther away. Yeah, I literally can't do it. Like, there's no way around it. Like, if it's yeah. just me, I literally can't be like, well, I own this company. I mean, theoretically, I could, like,
you could probably
rip out some code yeah. or something. But
you'd,
like,
have to really get deep in there. And I don't think...
You'd have to get deep in there. For all practical purposes, I cannot approve the email twice, because it needs to be approved twice, and then it can go out. So two people have to look, and before you can even approve it, you have to check off 5 boxes. And this is mostly a honor system thing, but you know the fact that you had to click the box does, you know, it makes you a liar if you didn't. So
there you go. And you know, so there's that sin that you have to worry about, but then also, you know, we really don't want to send out a bad email. So, you know, we do want to make sure that we are checking the content, that the links go to the right place, you know, that we didn't link to somebody's profile page instead of their actual pen, or, you know, no link at all instead of to the collection we're trying to show people. So
this is probably baby stuff to, like, a serious publishing house,
of course,
but we kind of are a serious publishing house
at this point. I would say I think that
we have to do it.
A big chunk of what we do now is this media, you know, we are sending out a newsletter and the, you know, the challenge prompts every single week. So yeah, it's a big
and
piece
of
what we do.
It's a problem if it goes out wrong. There's all kinds of things that could go wrong. There's the image doesn't render in some email engine or something, or the image is 3 megabytes big, and that's a problem for costs and stuff, or that the image is, or there's so much content or image size or something, the email gets cut off in an awkward way, or there's typos, or the sponsor is missing, or the sponsor links to the wrong thing, or any link goes to the wrong thing. I'm saying some of the same stuff Marie just said, but it's like there's a lot of stuff to check off. So we call this the send station in our own admin app, the same place, but, you know, a different URL to where the Spark is actually created. So, like, Marie gets done with all the stuff, and, you know, Chris's corner is in there and everything. And then it comes to my real email address, and I check it in my email client. And then I also go check at it in Gmail and Gmail on my phone, because Gmail is just so big.
Oh, yeah.
But it's like, you got to just for sure check Gmail, even if whatever other client, you know, ideally we're checking against 10 clients, but there's limits to
the practicality of that.
How
deep
we go on this. Yeah. So you got to say it's proofread. So two people got to proofread it. You got to check all the links, check all the sponsors, check the image size and quality, just meaning we don't want to actually send out like the 3 megabyte image or whatever. It's just bad form. And then the reason that we send it out, you know, you click the button and you send it out, is to make sure that it made it through the real API for sending emails, you know?
If we just wanted to send station and
hit send, you know, you just didn't do the basic thing where you sent it through the real system that customers will be getting. So it has to make it through, because there could be a problem in the template. It's happened.
We've run into it. It's why every single one of those checks has a reason to be there.
Yeah, because we screwed it up before.
We had to write a rule for it. And, you know, the other thing that you don't have to check off, but that happens actually automatically once you send the email, is that it is completely removed from the send station. So once it has been sent, you cannot accidentally send the same one again, which happened once and never happened again.
yep. Did that one.
Yeah,
not
once.
Great.
But
you know what sucks about screwing up a sponsor too, is the sponsor's annoyed with you, so the chances of reselling it are low.
Yep.
You don't get paid for it because it was wrong. And a lot of times they want to make good. So then you still have to run it later, which takes another one. So it's like a double, triple whammy or something.
So you just really don't want to screw it up. It's something that's got to be, and you know, the thing is, we're human beings, so we got to build tools.
Which means we're subject to embarrassment, which is probably the worst thing to happen.
But also that we are capable of screwing up, you know, without some kind of automated system to keep us in place. So we've built a lot of tools to help us get this done.
A lot of tools.
And
Marie's always in there pulling out, you know, try to trim the list in various ways and stuff. That's probably not worth getting into, but it's pretty interesting to try
to work.
You know, yeah. To keep the open rate high and that kind of thing.
Yeah. I mean, if I were to talk about a frustration with it, you know, we do have tools for sending lots and lots of email, but Sparkpost doesn't really give us a ton of information about who's actually engaging, who's actually opening it. They'll tell us, you know, about engagement rates, open rates, things like that, but the specificity is not really there. So we have to get a little creative to, you know, to do our best to keep it clean. And it is difficult. It's something that's going to be the next stage of what we're like putting a lot of development time into, essentially. Maybe not necessarily development time, but research and work into figuring out how to keep that nice and clean. Because that, I mean, my goal would be to have it clean as a whistle. That's how I like to roll.
Absolutely. In that, it's hard to know for sure. Because, you know, one of them, like what's the perfect metric? Like, you never open it, right?
Yeah.
You haven't opened 10 of them or something? Then you just get unsubscribed then.
Just dump them.
Like, you obviously don't want it. And we don't want to be sending it to you if you don't want it. You can always resubscribe if you do want it. But that type of thing. But that is very hard to sort out. Sometimes we do like a proxy, don't we? We don't actually know if you opened it, but we have other things.
Right. We use Activity on CodePen. Yeah. And things like that to kind of get a picture for like, is this person engaged with CodePen in general? And we, you know, it's account age, all that type of stuff. But again, yeah, it's a stab in the dark. Sometimes it would be nice to just be able to say, okay, well, you know, the company that's sending these emails, you guys know who's opening this or not. Can you just cut them off automatically for us? That would be a really nice thing to do, but it's in their interest for us to have a large list because, you know, we pay per email.
So. Yeah, that's right. It's like, let's say your list was 1 million people. Mm-hmm. You could sell that for X dollars, but it's actually worth, let's say your list then was 500,000, but your open rate was triple. It should be worth more, but sometimes it isn't. So it's a little balance there too.
Yeah, exactly. So it would be, you know, ideally we would have better insight into that and better tools for just simplifying it, because nobody who has a newsletter like ours wants to be sending to people who don't want it. And, you know, it doesn't make sense to litter people's inboxes. If they don't want something, they shouldn't be getting it. If they're not engaging, they shouldn't be getting it. And it would be ideal for us to fix that. But. It's another story for another day.
We'll get there. Yeah. As we discover how to do it properly and then tell you how to do it.
We're trying.
A couple other little nuggets just to mention before we wrap up. We're doing a pretty good job of keeping the show probably about half an hour, and that'll probably be our goal. One of the problems we had was image size at one point. It is notoriously easy to put an image that's too large or too sized incorrectly or something into it. So we finally did be like, hey, we should be, instead of S3, which we use mostly for everything, and it's kind of an industry standard for storage, Cloudflare, this is years back now, released this R2 product, which is kind of cheekily named to be a different letter and a different number, but that's how Cloudflare rolls, you know. And they said, you don't pay for, what do they call it? Egress is the word, which is like upload and download bandwidth, essentially.
Is it really egress?
I think I said it right. It sounds like a bird, doesn't it? I think that's an egret, though.
Yeah, that's a bird, but I believe you. I just haven't heard it myself.
Yeah, I think, unless I'm just wrong, in which case email. And as a matter of fact, I should have mentioned that at the top of the show. Are you still subscribed to this podcast? Like, are you listening to this because all of a sudden your podcatcher just showed you a new episode and you're like, what the hell? And you listen to it. I'd love to hear that from you
on your social media choice
or email or whatever. Yeah, that would be fascinating.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
So we wired up, and we're starting to use R2 for more and more stuff, just cause it's better, I think, than S3. I mean, I don't know, that maybe that's debatable, but I just like the DX of Cloudflare products generally. So I like using it. So we wired up this thing. So at least with email, because it goes out to so many people, the bandwidth is like pretty freaking high.
Yes.
R2 is like the perfect product to use for it, to take advantage of, rather, pretty much. So we made sure that all email assets are on R2. And then R2 has this other ability that, like, whatever you upload, we could upload a 2 megabyte image. Who cares? The URL will ensure that it's the exact pixel size and the exact optimizedness that it needs to be. So you pretty much don't have to think about it. Take a screenshot, upload it to our little CMS thing. It uses a nice little tool, plops it where it needs to be in R2, and it's done. So that was very satisfying.
That has really sped things up too, because it was a painstaking process before, you know, resizing the images, making sure that we had the right URL params, all that type of stuff. It was heavily manual.
Yeah.
Big old pain. And this is wonderful by comparison. It really cuts down how long it takes to assemble, to physically assemble a spark.
Yeah. I thought I would mention, it does. I love, I still like, you do it enough that you're probably over it. But when I upload an image to that new little uploader thing, I mean, we haven't yet ported all that world to the CodePen assets that you get to use. We have a perfectly nice uploader, but like the R2 uploader is,
it's pretty sweet.
A little nicer still. Yeah.
Oh no. I think about it a lot because I remember what it used to be.
Yeah. Right. I was pretty proud of that one. The old Chris slipped that one through, didn't I? Yeah. Just saying. We also use a language called MJML sometimes.
Yeah.
If people haven't used that, it's like a, I used to handcraft these. I used to take pride, be like, I can craft an HTML email. I don't care how long it takes. This is big business for us. I will craft the perfect HTML that makes this email work. But you, even I have my limits to what it actually takes to make the perfect email that will render perfectly across the 2 zillion email clients. If you didn't know this, it's actually cross email client rendering is a much harder problem than cross browser handling.
Boy,
that's hard
ever.
Enough, but email is way crazier. MJML is just a nice language that has like limited primitives. It's like it looks like HTML that you're writing, but they're all like MJML dash elements. They look like custom elements kind of. Whatever, but they're like special tag for images and a special tag for columns and special tags for wrappers and stuff. And if you use all their special tags, which lint and prettier nicely and all that, then you get this, you know, HTML mess out the other side that will work in all the other languages. So it's very just nice to use knowing that you have this, like, I don't have to worry about all the absolute intricacies of how this is going to work. It's just going to do it for me.
They figured them all out. It's so reliable. It's really impressive.
It's nice. And it gives us this, because we want to sometimes craft one-off emails for dedicated sparks, which are worth money to us. Now we have MJML to do that. So I could just, we can just write up a one-off email real quick in MJML, and that's worth it. And it's worth it to not have the headache of screwing it up. So
definitely.
Yeah. We'll sell an ad however we need to sell it, but we do still work with the company BuySell Ads. It's been a long time, and they help us sell the challenges and the spark and the dedicated sparks and stuff. So if you were to contact us about advertising, it's possible we work with you directly, but more likely that we have you work with their team who we trust and are reliable to help gather the assets, make sure stuff goes out on time, you know, make sure the calendar's clean, that kind of thing. Feels good, right? A lot of emails we send.
We sure do. Yeah.
And there's always something to do. It kind of keeps us on our toes, but
yeah. Well, and it's fun to do, you know, I mean, it's really great to be able to highlight the stuff that people are doing on CodePen. The dedicated issues have given me an opportunity to expand the editorial view of the Spark, because it's not just what's hot this week or what's new this week. It's, you know, what's happening in front-end development, or, you know, what's new in the world of front-end development in general. Really cool stuff.
All right, everybody, that's email on CodePen. It's good to be back. We have a million topics to talk about. Hopefully we'll be doing it weekly-ish. We are in private beta of the new editor. If anybody really wants in on that, please email me at chris@codepen.io. I'd be happy to give you a tour, or get you into the Discord, get you into looking at the new thing. We're very excited about it, of course. So that's that. See you later. See you next time.